I'm talking to like some 45-year-old guy who's been in the industry. He's been working for Outback for 10 years. And he's like, what happened to my life? Wife's leaving me. I'm 14, umping 11-year-olds, getting cussed out by some smoking dad wearing a no-fear shirt in 1996. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Melissa has got a fireside sweater on. She's ready to curl up with a good book. In winter in Aspen, she's been skiing all day.
Nice.
She's been skiing Sounds all day.
Nice.
At 41, we can't be skiing. A, I don't know how. Yeah. B, the
bad
knees.
Bad time to start.
Yeah.
It's a bad time
it's
to start.
It's a bad time to start. It's also a bad time to continue doing it. If there's one thing, I don't know, it's real hard to feel bad for someone when they get hurt skiing. I mean, if you have like a tragic accident, that's one thing. But
just
you're
like a torn something.
Yeah, you're like you're 44, and we're sending you in skiing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like popped something in my calf in a mosh pit 3 years ago.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes yeah, there's a bit of a self-inflicted wound. You know,
okay.
You know, you're like, oh, I just slipped on this big bag of money I had.
Exactly. That's just dispensable money.
Yeah. Disposable.
Yeah, yeah. It just feels,
dispensable
yeah.
money.
You know. Feels a yep. little, you know. Feels a little, you know. Feels like, I accidentally got hit by my boat. What?
Sorry to hear you that. Know?
My private jet got delayed. Okay. All right.
Yeah. They rescheduled our flight to Hawaii.
Okay. Okay. Well,
I cut my hand on our ski ride.
Yeah. I'm not saying your knee doesn't hurt, but I am very confident you can afford the injury.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
I'm sure your driver can get you to the hospital in a timely manner.
Your copay will clear.
I'm pretty sure you're going to be receiving some top end health care. You know,
are you insured?
Yeah. Does that happen the other way around? Like you get a raise, and then on the benefits list, it's like, oh, look, you get health, all this, and you can now ski.
Yeah.
You can now skydive.
It's
you
just
can now base jump.
Yeah. It's just a little. It rings a little of like when like very wealthy people complain about their taxes. You're like, hey man, you know we all pay taxes, right? Like that's
the more
not,
money make the more you pay.
That's not unique to you. Yeah. I know it's like a little more like jaw dropping of a number that you pay, but we're all paying taxes, baby.
Based on how much you income you bring in,
they can just afford to get hurt by the IRS.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about first jobs, ironically.
The opposite.
We were talking about topic ideas, and I was, you know, we've mentioned it a few times over the years about what our first jobs were and teenage jobs, but we're in this time right now. We're reminiscing. Both of our first jobs, a version of them still exist. And you wonder about what jobs won't even exist even more as time goes on. And also thinking, Joel did get his first kind of job for a little bit this year. And he has his own little side hustle thing. Mm-hmm. But like, are our kids going to get jobs soon? Do we want them to get jobs? Why? What jobs are out there for them? How do you even get a job anymore? We're talking first jobs. We asked some people what their first jobs were. We're going to talk about ours. I don't know what Andy's was. We're going to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
We got lots of stuff to get into. Before we do, here's a couple comments that we got. This is from last week's episode. This is from Kevin. Kevin Keenan, 33333. As a dog person, your brainstorming session of why cats are better than dogs gives me the same vibe as listening to someone trying to convince themselves that vegetables are better than dessert. spoken like a true dog person. I love it, Kevin. Very, very funny. And then Mel, you can read this one here from Christopher.
Says, also preferred a dog for most of my life, then went through a period of no animals, then got a couple dogs and a cat. They had a baby, and now I am a cat person through and through, LOL. So much easier to have a cat when you have an infant. Oh, he had a baby.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had the dog cat cartoon fly into
yeah,
my mind.
I was like, oh, that's wow, funny. Who had the baby? Couple dogs and a cat. Yeah.
That is a common refrain from folks of just like, hey, man, dogs are great and people love dogs and kids love dogs. From a work standpoint, you know, it's a little easier.
What do you mean work?
How much work into the animal goes.
Oh, I think a dog and a newborn, like sometimes the dog doesn't adapt very well to the baby. Like,
yeah.
And either just like the lifestyle or the schedule, or they're like snippy, you know? They're like,
they take it personally.
Well, or they're literally like snipping like the toddler, like biting the toddler.
They've said that about cats too, though, that scratch babies. Or remember the old wives' tale about cats sucking the breath out of babies?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, these are the kind of things my family would talk about. That's the thing.
That cat is...
If you Google that old wives' tale, do cats actually suck the breath out of babies?
Well, sometimes that's what happens is the family will have a dog, and then they'll have their first kid, and then they're like, this dog does not work for our home.
Yeah.
Anymore.
But sometimes they adapt great, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes... I've seen lots of TikToks of dogs loving babies.
That's true. We waited. We had...
I'm trying to not upset the dog people here, Mel.
Yeah. My dog loved our kids.
Yeah. No, I'm not... I'm just saying that I've heard of this.
Yeah,
Friends and peers are like, it's just not working.
Yeah, well, you are right. We waited to get cats till our kids were a little older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Andy? You starting to say something or no?
Oh, that older siblings tend to snip at the new babies too.
That's a good point.
That's true. Yeah. We had a very crazy night. We were both exhausted from our weekends. Needless to say, the cat spent the night outside and it was a pure accident.
Oh my gosh. I feel terrible. Our poor old cat. I felt.
They each went out about 8:30.
No, they went out closer to 9:30. It was late.
No, I went to bed at 9. So they went out before I went to bed.
Well, they weren't meowing to get back in.
But we were like, just do a lap around the house. We'll let you back in. And then sure enough, we all just like shut down for the night.
And before we get any comments of like, how dare you let your cats outside? Because they know it's a hot debate of the indoor-outdoor cat.
Yeah.
I get that. We took in two cats that were already indoor-outdoor cats and couldn't keep them indoor. And honestly, like, right, that our oldest cat is 20. All right?
Yeah.
We are keeping our cats safe and alive. A 20-year run for a cat is crazy.
Well, and even... Indoor cats do live longer than indoor-outdoor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Which makes sense. But this cat usually just does a lap and then comes back in.
Keep saying we, and that's very nice of you. This was purely on me. And then there's an argument that was also on Gloria, because Gloria was the last to bed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am the father and the adult.
No,
so.
We were like, oh my gosh, our old cat stayed the night out. That was crazy.
They weren't asking to get back in while I was going to bed or before I went to bed. And then also it just didn't hit me to go look for them. And then I assumed they were in the back room.
With Gloria.
And then I even got up to go pee and like one of the doors was open. So I was like, oh, they're not in their normal spots in the living room, but they probably in the back room. Gloria's probably up.
I know.
And I'm like, I felt so bad. I'm like, oh my gosh, our poor old cat.
It
wasn't that. I'm like, it was San Diego.
I know.
Keep in mind context, we live in San Diego.
Yeah.
We did not leave him on the streets of Chicago last night in the freezing wind.
Yeah. But it went out there and it was like, it's way too expensive out here. I'm going back inside.
They lived another day.
They lived another day.
A really funky night.
And they're already back in Gloria's bed, passed out
they're
probably
sleep
for the day.
So deep today. Yeah.
I feel terrible. So, anyways, cat people here. Real cat lovers. I've got some touring dates coming out. Let's see here. This is probably going to come out in mid-March or so. So thank you, DC. You were great. Thanks for the runner shows in Tacoma. I think I've done those already. Coming up, everybody, we've got Philadelphia. April 2nd through 4th. Belleville, Illinois, which is St. Louis. That's April 11th. Then we're going to Fort Wayne, Indiana, April 16th through 18th, followed up by Lansing, Michigan. Never been to Lansing. I assume nobody else here has either.
Mm-mm. No.
Excited. Portland, Oregon, Missoula, Montana, Spokane, Vancouver, Las Vegas, Birmingham, Atlanta, Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Denver, Eugene. Actually, a bunch of other dates just went on sale on my website. I got to look those up another
time.
Yeah,
the full fall is out.
The full fall is out. Actually, you know what? Let me be a professional here. I'll just go to my own Instagram because that's where they're all listed because I got the big old flyer. Mm-hmm. And last one I said was Eugene. So Springfield, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, Jacksonville, Orlando, Dayton, Ohio, Rochester, New York, Albany, Syracuse, San Jose, Lowell, Arkansas. Oh, I did announce these, didn't I? Naples, Tampa, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Austin, all on sale now. We're going to do a couple more in the fall that we'll add. But as of right now, that is it. Very busy. Couple of busy bees here. And at least one of those nights, I'm going to be fair and make myself sleep outside to make up for the cats.
Did you say San Diego?
Oh, yeah. San Diego's on sale.
Today.
That's on sale today. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not, not in our actual timeline. November 28th at the Balboa Theater.
Hey.
You got to do something with your family. That's the Saturday or the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving weekend. You got nothing better to do. I promise. It's not an exciting weekend. There's no good movies. You know?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's not a traditional big movie
movies
weekend.
Movies are Christmas.
Yeah.
You're competing against shopping.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So, the Balboa Theater, 7 p.m., DustinNickerson.com for all of those.
Come on out.
Check it out, everybody. Thank you to everybody that came to the shows in Chicago and Oshkosh, Wisconsin. They were very fun. A couple little places I want to recommend. It's not a coffee shop, but it's right near me. So where they put you up in old. So in Chicago, Zany's, which is like a 40-year-old club. It's great. It's historic. You've been. It's tight. It's an old strip club. And you can kind of tell because the stage is a little too high. No further details I'm going to explain on that. But it's an interesting room. It's historic. People have been playing it for years, decades. And it's in Old Town, which I really like that area. And then the hotel was right across the street from Lincoln Park, which is where the zoo and everything is. Mm. It's right there. It's great. But I was looking for some food, and I went to this place here, Wells Street Kitchen and Juice. If you're in Chicago, I highly recommend it. As far as I know, it was just one guy. I think it's a newer business. I don't know that for sure, but I want to give him a shout out. It's very tasty. Then it's so funny. This is the modern era where I go to their Instagram. He was just, it was kind of like, it felt newer in that, I feel like they're just kind of getting established in the neighborhood. And then he was like, man, this summer is going to be so busy. And I was like, yeah, I hope so, buddy. You got a good spot here. And, had a good smoothie, had a really good BLT, but you know me and my BLT.
I was gonna say, those sandwiches do look pretty tasty.
Sandwiches were very good. And so, yeah, highly recommend checking that out. I was looking for a smoothie. That was the goal. And then I walked in and I was like, that BLT sounds pretty good. But the problem is I'd had a BLT the day before too. And then I had 3 days of BLTs and that is too much bacon. My stomach hurt. I was having some gas issues. But yeah, check that out. And then randomly, so I had to drive from Chicago to Oshkosh and was looking for a good coffee spot on the way. And then I found this place in Libertyville, Illinois, of all places. Hansa Coffee. I think they're all over Chicago, but this is the one I went to. And it was a really cool spot. And I really liked it. It was a good cup of Joe, especially on the road. Yeah.
It's cool. Like
the
garage. Old auto body shop.
Yeah.
That's it. I love that.
Yeah, I knew you would.
You mean old gas station, old auto body shop, coffee shop.
Well, I took Mel to, when we were in LA, they have one of these kind of like markets that are multiple little businesses and restaurants in one. And it's like an old Firestone like automotive shop, mm-hmm. and but they still have the Firestone logo up, and then you go in and it's like tacos and beer over here, and then skee ball over here, and you were like, we sat down and you're like, we should move to LA.
You're like, I love this.
This is just a random place, which just happened to be in the area we were. So anyway, Chicago, I just cannot put into words how much I love the city of Chicago. I just love, it's like I told Mel, it's like a quieter New York. It's a like little less of the hustle and bustle, but, you know, plenty of things to do, plenty of history, plenty of culture, and a lot of ways like old, interesting, Capone was based in Chicago, you know, like old, you know, mob stuff is, I mean, of course they had that in New York too, but like, you know, just, do you know where they get the name the Windy City?
It's from investments, right?
Close, yeah. Politicians. The idea is they were so full of hot air, just always talking, you know, but also cold. But that one just all ties
that's
in.
Right.
But, you know, the art museum's great. The Bean's cool. I just like it. I just really like it. And they're great. Mm. As good of Comedy City as in America. I think people talk about like, I don't want to pick favorites, but when we do the tier system, the S tier, Chicago was an S tier, a top tier comedy city. It's as good as it gets as far as just like smart crowds, good crowds, not easily, not looking to be offended crowds. Not that that's really an issue with what I do anyways, but just like they get it. Love it. But it is always sad to go back to a city that the last time I was there was with you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, and the time before that I was with Joel. So the last two times I was in Chicago.
You're with family.
I was with family and I was like, I'm by myself.
Yep. Well, I was at a volleyball tournament.
Mel, you were not. We both had Sundays that were brutal.
Yeah.
So go with yours first. I mean, you did a 14-hour.
I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I
committed to travel volleyball.
This is like our rec league that our little 12-year-old does, and they had one day in Irvine, which is like 90 minutes, you know, of drive, but it was also daylight savings, and I guess Gloria could have driven, because, you know, she's 16.
Yeah.
But I should have just spent the night, but it was because of the pets. I was like, no.
Could have left them outside.
I was like, I don't want to deal with the pets. And then also I was kind of concerned. Gloria came to support her sister, which if anyone has siblings.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
You know
Gloria
how this
was
goes.
Forced to go to support her sister.
Gloria was in the car until it was noon when she got, the heat was too high. She had to come inside.
Gloria's 16 and a half and could have very well spent the evening by herself if she needed to. But the real push to Gloria was Claire has had to go to so many of Gloria's tournaments that Claire was like, she has to go. Because siblings will punish
siblings.
Each other.
And I am, it's pretty typical. You're like, hey, you're 11, 12. I don't want you to stay home for 6 hours alone, like when I'm an hour away.
Right.
Or, you know, like you should come and you are going to come because, you know, we're a family. And so sure enough, I have Gloria with me, but and she did, you know, cheer for Claire. And she, I mean, she knows volleyball very well.
She's a great volleyball player. It's a good teammate to have.
But anyways, last year they were in the same program, so they were at the same tournaments, which was helpful.
Yeah.
But anyways, I should have spent the night because I was literally falling asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Both ways. Yeah. Up and back.
And that's a rough drive if you are, because you hit Pendleton, especially at night, nothing out there. I mean,
there's not even street
lights. So you know, sports parent math, you're like, I'll get up at, my alarm will go off at 5, we'll leave at 6, we arrive at 8, we park, we walk, we wait in line, we get in, coaches meeting, the game start at 9.
Yeah.
You know, but I woke up an hour before my alarm went off, spiraling. So, you know, so that's what my brain did, and so I was just like an hour behind anyways, and so it was just a very, very long day.
The funny thing is you misplayed, because, you know, this happens with, you have enough going on, like, in your life, that, you know, you've kind of gotten yourself out of the weeds in some ways, because there's only so many weeds you can handle. So you misplayed daylight savings, and so we were talking the next day, and you're like, even with that bonus hour that I got, I was still tired. I'm like, Melissa, you lost an hour last night. I go, you got up at 3 a.m. your time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just all bad.
Yeah.
It was very bad. And if you're going to have it, like, I watched the sunrise and sunset in the car while I was, like, falling asleep.
Yeah.
And it was just a mistake.
You know,
the last 30 minutes of the drive home, I was like, I'm falling asleep. Claire, tell me the whole plot of the play you're in.
Yeah.
You know, and like I could ask her questions, and that was the only thing that kept me awake, because I just needed to dialogue with someone.
Yeah.
You know, like the cold air and like I'm just like fidgeting around.
Should have pulled over, got some sunflower seeds or something.
I know.
Something
I literally had espresso.
Mel had her first zin.
Something. I had espresso before I got on the freeway. It didn't help
situation.
At all. It like, you know, I was too tired.
Sometimes espresso can't. It just falls. Your body's
You're
like
that's
screw you.
Hilarious.
Nice that try. You don't even know how done I am.
Yeah. You could put pure cocaine in that espresso and I'd be like, night, night. I always get it mixed up. Are we in daylight savings now? Or not in daylight savings now? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Well, let me just say this, if I will. Like,
it ruined my weekend. Yeah. I almost,
because are we
so
saving daylight
be alive.
In the fall to get daylight back in the spring?
I don't know.
Like, that's the investment.
Yeah. And Phoenix is like, hey, man.
Yeah. Phoenix and Hawaii. Nah. Mm-hmm.
I love that. No, I like, a quick word to travel sports event organizers. We're giving a lot financially, energy, time, and we're doing it happily and willingly to support this program and our child. Could you not plan a tournament on the daylight savings? We're going to lose an hour. We're getting up at 3 a.m. We're driving in the dark both ways now. Mm-hmm. Both ways. Come on.
I know.
Come on. When you tried to be good, you're like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to go to bed at 10. That's good for us. 10 p.m. You're like, 5 hours? I got to get up at 3 a.m.?
It was terrible.
You're like, well, I'm already pretty, like, this is already taking a financial toll.
Yeah.
Now we're doing an emotional toll.
Well,
and you know what? Rancho Cucamonga is not that nice. Believe it or not. You're just, they have a way of planning the worst place to go, because you're like, because this is some.
That's where the warehouse is.
This is where we have a warehouse where we can put 70 volleyball gyms.
Yeah.
And this is the only place.
I know. I think the worst part was, when we arrived, the parking lot we always use was closed.
Yeah.
So we were, I clocked 3 miles.
Walking to the car and back.
Because we were so far away from the gym. And then the worst part was there was a huge line. Only coaches and players could go in. And then I was outside waiting. And I'm like, I have to pee so bad.
Right.
I just drove from San Diego. Mm. And then I had to get in a bathroom line.
Yeah.
Once I finally got in, and
with
I
a bunch
was,
of the players.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we had to let all the players go because it was just like, it was a poorly run day. Everything was running late. The games were so slow. They cut our last game. It was 3:30. We started at 9. We shouldn't have spent, you know,
a whole work day. Yeah.
On a pool of four teams like playing 3 games each. Like, it was insane. Yeah. So
but
it was just,
we love them, and they
I mean, you think like that these teams or agents just start like signing contracts for parents, because like they seem like the real athletes in it, you know, like auditioning them, like, you know, when it happens, like, oh well,
yeah,
tell me about your ability to perform under stress and low sleep.
Well, and I just I underestimated. I did this in January. I was like, there's only one of me. I am not going to get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
and go to the third day of a tournament and then hit the freeway
yeah.
and drive from Phoenix to San Diego. Mm-hmm. I was like, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
I'm sharing a hotel room with three teenagers. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to be rested. And I knew that. And so I was like, I either have to spend another night or fly.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just one person.
Yeah.
And so we did. We flew, and I should have just known that. Like,
yeah. But the good news is you did have a little more chill of a Monday when you get to have some blood work and a mammogram done. So you had that to look forward to.
9 a.m.
Yeah.
You a little personal day.
Yeah, yeah. Little spa at Kaiser.
Self-care.
Little Kaiser spa. Day. Little 2.5 hours of being
poking
poked
and
prodding and squishing and squeezing. It's crazy. Yeah.
No, but
you were modeling that for me. You're like, I was like, what are these positions they're asking you? That's great.
I always do those ultrasounds and mammograms while, like, on Monday mornings.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, just get it over with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to wait. I just want to, like, do it right away.
Yeah.
You know?
This is why when comedians complain about the road, I, like, laugh in their faces. Because I had a very bad version of the road this weekend as
yeah.
far as, like, travel goes.
Yes.
And it was... I didn't do a single travel thing that was worse than either of your drives. It wasn't Rancho Cucamonga. You were in Irvine, but not good Irvine.
It was just a warehouse.
It was a warehouse.
You know? Yeah.
Which there are plenty of warehouses in Irvine. It's very yeah. spread out. A lot of areas still to build in Irvine. Every time
turns out
every yeah. time I'm in Irvine, I'm like, there's still room here. It's
oh, they're going to start just making bunkers next.
There we go. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was happy for you because when I checked your location around 6, I was like, oh, she made it to the Chipotle in Tustin. It is done.
We did it. Yeah. That was the funniest part, too, was our sixth grader was trying to get, like, her second meal at the tournament.
Yeah.
And me and her sister were like, no, we are not eating another meal here. Like, have a granola bar.
Yeah.
This food is terrible
yeah.
and it's so expensive. Like,
yeah.
we're leaving.
Yeah.
Like, just have this last game and we're going to go get actual food.
Yeah. Oh, and by that you mean Chipotle.
And by that, I mean Chipotle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... The Chipotle after a 12-hour volleyball tournament does hit pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Or like Cane's.
Yeah.
You know, the girl, the teens. Like
the Raising Cane's, the
Have
Chipotle.
Have your kids gotten into Cane's yet?
I don't know if I'll get them into Cane's.
Okay, so it's not you getting them into Cane's. It's their friends getting them into Cane's.
You think
Cane's.
We wanted to get them into Cane's?
We're like, try this chicken and fries
no, it's not
restaurant.
Good.
I guess so.
No, they found no. it.
Well, as Kevin on stage says, it's all about the sauce. I guess that's the thing
it's
that
the
I
sauce.
Didn't understand. Because
yeah.
I thought I had the same thing. I ate it. I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't realize, like, oh, it's because you got to smother it.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know why
and
you
our kids,
like that.
Our daughters, they'll get like 3 of the Texas toasts. So it's mostly just toast.
I mean, Texas toast is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just butter and bread.
You're a Texas Roadhouse guy?
I did. I had a visceral feeling like when, because they're announcing that they are putting a Cane's in Oceanside because there wasn't one near us.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need another freaking spotlight that near us.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Exactly. But teens find their way.
It
yeah.
becomes very cultural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're also open late.
Yeah.
Kind of like In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But gosh, that meal. That Chipotle mm-hmm. or that Raising Cane's after 12 hours in a volleyball gym or
mm-hmm.
a soccer game or whatever it may be.
You've been eating like sliced apples yeah. and cheese sticks and yeah. then you bag of chips.
Everyone's wearing a yeah. $75 hoodie they'll never wear again. And you're just looking at each other like, we did it. We did it.
We did it.
Somehow we got to this moment. This was our mm-hmm. carrot
yep.
right here.
Still have to drive home, unfortunately.
Still have to drive home, unfortunately. Yeah, could you put a little something in my Coke Zero for energy? Just a little some. Can you give me that old Coke they used to make back in the day? Because I got to drive an hour and a half home in the dark or three hours home in the dark.
Yeah.
Whew. But it is something. It is something.
Yeah.
Well, good job. Thank you,
you
for
too.
Doing all that.
You had a terrible travel day.
Well, yeah, I'm in a little bit of a slump.
Yeah. Kind of this whole year.
Yeah.
A lot of
I've had some delays and stuff. I'm in a little bit of a slump. It, you know, kind of it is. I compare it to baseball players in that you go in slumps. But you always have backup plans. I haven't missed a show. I mean, I missed shows in Raleigh, but that was weather related.
Yeah.
But yeah, I woke up Thursday morning flying to Chicago with a canceled flight. So the first thing I do when I wake up on these early mornings is you check your phone. You're checking purely, did an airline text me?
Yep.
So I woke up to a canceled Southwest flight, and then I don't even really panic when these things happen. I panic a little more when I'm going out to the show. But so I get back in bed with my phone. I pull the covers under my head so the light doesn't wake you up. And it's warm and toasty in there. And I just kind of get to work. I'm like, okay, San Diego to Chicago. There's directs on United, Southwest.
You call your travel agent.
Yeah. American and Alaska, which was good. So I ended up booking an Alaska flight. Get out there. I had to switch airports. No, I didn't have to switch airports. No, I did have to switch airports. Never mind. I did have to switch airports, but it didn't matter. Got there, got to the gig, showered, went to the show. No big deal. I had a BLT. That's what I'm saying. It's not, there's still not a bad day. And then the difference between comedian and everyone, comedians, when we don't have to go to the next city, I'm like, yeah, but then what did you do the next day? You slept till noon? Oh, baby. Yeah. You know, like that's what the parent that you are, like that, and that I am when I'm home, that's what you don't get the next day is that
the
like day, the recovery day.
Yeah.
So then, but the way home, so I wake up Monday morning in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Supposed to be flying out of Appleton, Wisconsin, connecting through MSP and then coming to San Diego. That's how it was supposed to go. I got a text when I was on the phone with you. I was zip zipping, which is what we say when I call you as I'm packing up my stuff at the end of the night.
Yeah.
So I'm zip zipping. I'm like, oh, okay, just got a text that
Sunday
I got
night.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sunday night that I got a little, that I got delayed and they're like, hey, we're going to put you on the later flight because you were going to miss that one. I'm like, okay. So now I'm getting home at 2 or whatever. And, but you never love a night before delay. You're like, uh oh. You know,
they're like, things are already bad.
Things are already bad. And it's usually, in my experience, it's related to staffing or mechanical issues. Mm-hmm. So I wake up and I've been delayed again. And so then you get on Delta, which I'm supposed to be flying Delta. And I'm like, okay, well, what are my options here? And they're like, we have. And I was like, oh, perfect. That actually can get me in even earlier. And then I was like, oh, no, that's on Tuesday. That doesn't help me. And then all my options at that point are 2 connections, which I don't mess with a 2 connection flight.
Mm.
I got no interest in that. Mm-mm. There's no way you're getting home. Too many things can go wrong. I'm like, I don't even know which connections you would make on the way home. You're going to take me to Minneapolis, then Salt Lake, you know, then home. You know. So anyways.
Terrible.
So I start.
It's going to be a 20-hour day.
Yeah. So I start looking at my options. I'm like, I can get this United thing out of Appleton. I can get bad story long. I book a different flight from on United from Appleton to Minneapolis to home. I book that and then I open it in the app. And then that actually has been delayed too. But they didn't tell you that until you booked it. And then we're canceling that flight. And I'm like, okay, so we got to figure this stuff out. Da, da, da. And then bad story long, I end up booking. I'm like, I just got to get out of Appleton. Appleton is my issue. So I drove back to Chicago, which is about 2.5-3 hours. This is at, by the way, which is interesting about this. This is a little bit of luck here. Speaking of luck, is I had set my earlier alarm woke me off that I had forgot to turn off from my original flight before it got delayed. So that woke me up and I checked my phone, which ended up bailing me out because then it was like 4:40 in the morning and all this happens in about 20, 25 minutes. And now I'm back in the car driving back to Chicago. So I'm driving like 3 hours to go and try and catch a 10 o'clock flight out of Chicago. And then on the flight, on the drive, calling Alamo saying, hey, I'm changing my rental car back to, because that was the thing, I had a rental car. So it was up. So I had to change the airport. But again, the reality is like I watched The Sun Come Up in Chicago. I put on Turn the Page by Bob Seger, heard the saxophone playing, you know, and got home. And it's like, it's I mean, easier than a mammogram. I'm saying that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I remember I would always mix it up with
sonogram.
Sonogram. And then monogram.
Monogram.
I mean, that's an appliance. That's brand. Yeah. GE monogram.
Yeah. Or what are like the like embroidery?
Yeah.
There was a place over here where we lived that there was always a place that I was is that one of those crazy uncomfortable?
I know. I can't remember it though.
I don't know.
Embroidery? No.
I don't remember what the word I'm looking for was, but mammogram.
Yes, you got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The ma'am is the funny part to me because it sounds like it's polite.
Well, ma'am. in the details, it's like mammography.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, they
for the mammaries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. they call it that because while your technician or whatever is doing it to your mind, you're going, ma'am, please, could you not, ma'am, please.
It's not what I was saying.
I know. Ugh. Anyways, that would be a bad first job.
Well, I think it's a really hard job, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That was just a good segue. That's all that was. So we wanted to talk about first jobs
because
I think it was interesting. It's an interesting time to think about for your kid and in your own life about what the first time was you went and got a job. Yeah. My first question that I had on this, because I know what yours was, but for the audience, Mel, what was your first job? And then I don't think I know the answer to this. How did you get that job?
Okay, so I did a ton of babysitting.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Years of babysitting.
That was an off the books job.
But that was not formal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
what's the
I got
first
a
job the government knew you had?
Yeah. I got a job teaching swim lessons at like 15?
Yeah.
Maybe 14 and a half.
Whoa.
I think maybe 15.
What is this? The Great Depression?
I must have been 15.
Child
but,
labor laws.
Was this in Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
During
I mean,
the
yeah. No, not during, as many swimmers.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Was an indoor 5-foot pool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was teaching
swim
lessons.
Oh, you can swim. Oh, then you could teach it.
This girl from Texas had a pool. She's qualified. She moved here from Texas. They had a pool. She can teach.
So my parents were very smart with this. They were like, well, if you get a lifeguard certification, then you'll get a job. Because you have the certification.
Yeah.
Which...
It's a savvy parent move.
I know.
Yeah.
But I taught a lot of swim lessons, and I did get the job through a boyfriend. Yep. His face.
You asked for it.
I thought he was a friend.
No. I got my friend's jobs there, but...
That's it. I'm going back to Tacoma, Northeast Tacoma, and I'm burning the center down. Yeah, you were teaching swim lessons at the rec center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, you know, we have a long history of rec center.
We do.
You know, it's a through line.
It's in our DNA.
It's a through line for you to be romantically involved with men that work at rec centers.
You know how to pick them.
You know, it's one thing about you, attracted to a man in recreation.
You got a bright future.
You should see this man with a ping pong paddle in his hand. That's very funny.
Yeah.
So, I think I always have some laughs and some thoughts on that job. First off, it's hilarious because, I mean, you couldn't have had better job access. I mean, you were across the street.
Yeah.
I think about your psoriasis and the chlorine.
So I developed a psoriasis at like 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it might have come from that
pool? No, and we actually kind of used to say that was what caused it. No, it's hereditary.
But
psoriasis and chlorine do not play well together.
No.
But no, I literally...
I'm not even sure if you should be allowed in the pool with psoriasis.
I was a senior in high school when my psoriasis began.
A love story. That is a true love story with us that I didn't even... She had a big old patch on her forehead.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it for like 6 months to a year because love is blind,
I like
baby.
Referenced it. I was like, I have this, you know, thing on my forehead. You're like, what?
Yeah. I was like, I'm in love and you have great bangs.
I didn't at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were straight hair back then. Yeah.
No, I just...
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it took about 9 months to get the actual diagnosis. Actually, it took more like a year and a half.
It is hard. Yeah. It is interesting how we have 16-year-olds teach 5-year-olds how to swim.
No, I told you I was 15.
I'm just saying in general, for the sake of the bit here, Mel. I don't want to bring up the legalities
of
your.
I know.
But, you know, it's not an adult level job. Traditionally,
yeah,
swim lessons.
There was always like one adult who did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were the supervisor. You did some lifeguarding too, right? Weren't you up in that chair?
We did not. We weren't elevated because the pool was 5 feet deep.
No, that's funny. So you were standing?
Yeah. I think so.
You're sitting?
No, we were standing.
Crisscross applesauce down on the side of the pool, just surface level scanning.
No, we did not have any elevated chairs though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But we also didn't have to make that many saves because
5-foot pool.
It was not a deep pool.
Yeah. Do you like the job?
No. No, I did not.
Well.
No. But I do think that the point of a first job is like, hey, you're not going to like this.
Yeah.
If, you know, you got
to. Yeah. Welcome to work.
Yeah.
Do you remember how much you got paid?
Yeah. Like. $7.
Yeah. Which I think was above minimum wage at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many hours were you working?
Yeah. Not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I would usually work in the winter because in the fall and spring, I was so busy with sports.
Yeah.
And then I would work Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
That's a big learn how to swim.
Big learn how to swim time is Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to get the lifeguard spots. Mm. Like, if you came into the pool, they're going to put you in swim lessons.
Oh, I see.
Because everyone wants to be a lifeguard because you just literally sit there, you know, for hours. So everyone was scheduled for swim lessons and very few got the lifeguard positions.
Interesting. Yeah. What was your first job, Andy?
Mm-hmm. I was a busboy at a French restaurant.
Oh.
For a summer. Yep. And you're right on. It is like, you hate it. It is and it's food industry too. So it's like, I mean, that's just like
totally different.
Full speed, total chaos.
Yeah.
Like nice.
No breaks.
And it was my parents, like really good friends.
Yeah.
Went to our church and in town at a French restaurant, burned my hands a bunch on bread and just hustling at 16. 15 and a half. I actually came in at 15 and a half because I was like the youngest you could start working.
Yeah.
Some rule as long
were
as you
turned. Were
you
dating somebody there too?
No.
Sorry. How'd you get the job?
My parents' friends.
Oh, sorry. I missed that.
Yeah, they offered it to
me. I was just thinking about how you were 15 getting burned.
Yeah. I mean.
Now, did you get any tips? Like, there's their tip share kind of thing?
Yeah. There was a tip share. And so that came down to us, like, after the waiters got paid out. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, kind of like you, though. I mean, I had to quit my job because of, like, oh, I've got banned, like, zero period and after school, so I can't, come and work these nights and all that kind of stuff. And it was just like.
Yeah. I mean, you hire children, you're going to have to compete with children's activities.
Yeah.
You're like, can I practice my violin during my break?
That's it, man.
I mean, one of the strangest parts about your first job is how you were thrusted into an environment surrounded by adults.
That is part of my reasoning for, like, my friend was like, I want my son to work at a restaurant, like for tips because of the money. And I was like, that's a terrible environment for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bunch of 20-somethings with a bunch of cash in their hands.
Yeah.
And they're just partying.
I was 16 years old and got a job at Outback Steakhouse. And someone was like, so you know so-and-so sleeping with so-and-so. And I'm like, huh?
You're rolling napkins?
Yeah. Here, come out back with me and have a smoke. Let's talk about it.
I got to go plan homecoming. What? You know, I'm talking to like some 45-year-old guy who's been in the industry. He's been working for Outback for 10 years. And he's like, what happened in my life? And like, huh?
I can't wait till I get my own place.
I know. If I gotta spend another day in this hole.
And you're like, I have a test tomorrow.
Wife's leaving me. You know,
my cat died yesterday.
Can't afford alimony. And you're like, huh?
Kids hate me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get my wisdom teeth out.
I'm getting my wisdom teeth.
My family's going to Hawaii this summer.
I have a bright future.
I got to go to my brother's game tomorrow.
He's complaining, you know, you've just got some 50-year-old woman complaining about the boss. And you're like, yeah, I don't like my baseball coach either. My English teacher's really strict. Chewing on Jolly Ranchers on while they're pounding cigs. You're like, it's insane. It's insane how you just get thrown into a suddenly adult environment and you have these full adults yelling at you like, I need you to bust 22, you know? Like, that's the other thing. They're very mean to you.
Yeah.
And because it's, you know, because you're the...
Restaurant culture, there's no HR.
Yeah.
No.
Well, especially 90s, like, you know, restaurant culture too. I mean, that was just like, and especially, I mean, I was in fine dining, so then it was just like so meticulous.
Yeah.
And so like, has to be perfect. Like, you know, redoing the tables and everything was just like, oh my God. Like, it just, it felt like so much pressure.
The bartender, if they ran out of ice.
Big ice. And then you had to change the
really
kegs,
mad
too.
At you.
Oh, yeah.
So changing the kegs was a big deal. They liked me because I was quick with the kegs. I was, you know, I'm a Nickerson.
I'm quick with the kegs.
Yeah. this is not my first rodeo here.
I remember you fixed the kegs at your sister's wedding.
At my sister's wedding. I don't know that my father was more proud of that than the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
When he was like, we got this keg, and he was like, it's not working. I was like, got it. Poured him one.
Toss the foam.
I learned this from Eric at Outback. He's trying to make manager. He's currently just a bartender, but he's trying to get his own Outback in South Center. It's crazy.
The regional manager's coming in.
Yeah. I mean, my first two jobs was I was a Little League umpire, and then I worked at AMC. Mm-hmm. And like your first job as a teenager is when you really are firmly like, you're like, wow, adults are so mean.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's the thing is I didn't like teaching swim lessons because the parents were like on top of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, your kid was supposed to stay on the wall and they didn't. So like, what do you expect me to do? I have like 6 3-year-olds that I'm teaching to swim. If one of them's off the wall,
I'm a 14-year-old getting cussed out by some smoking dad wearing a no fear shirt in 1996 that I
called a strike
because I called strike three. And I'm like, your kid stared at 5 pitches. It was actually strike 5. I was being nice.
Yeah.
I was being nice because I think this anger might end up in a different direction later. Right now, it's on me. Quit being mean to me.
Yeah.
I'm 14. Look at me.
It's a little league.
You can see that I'm 14. You get an idea that I'm 14, umping 11-year-olds. I'm 14, umpiring 11-year-olds. I go to school with these kids. Cool it, man. Cool it.
I'm paying you in snow cones.
I know. I'm getting a $20 bill under the table, and I'm wearing adult size gear. I look like the Little Rascals when they go to the bank. You know, I'm like, none of this fits. Cool your jets, buddy.
No. Yeah.
Hey, come to the snack shack after where I'm working. I'll get you some nachos.
I know.
See how
it's
goes.
Crazy. It's insane how mean they are. And it wasn't much better. My actual first job, and I remember this very vividly, I want to hear this from you too, was my first job was at AMC, AMC 6 in Federal Way. This was like the 90s and the early 2000s was kind of the golden age of movies, but this was like an outdated, yeah. AMC 6 is small. Now we're doing like AMC 75s, you know?
Seriously.
AMC Metroplex, which ended up maybe that wasn't the move. People aren't going to movies the way they used to, but.
I know, they were like, we need more theaters.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. My reign there ended because it went under, but like, because they're like, hey, we need to build a bigger movie theater. But at the time, there were two AMCs across the street from each other. One was in the mall. We were the one across the street from the mall, which is great. And it was a very fun job. But what I remember at that job is I'm 16 and they're asking me to fill out my tax form and I don't know what to do. And he's like, what's your social security? You're like, I don't know. And they're like, what number do you put? I'm like, I don't know.
Withholding.
Withholding.
Yeah, withholding. A one or a zero. That's all I got to figure out.
I don't know.
What am I supposed to do?
And then he explained to me the difference. And I'm like, I'm more confused.
It is very confusing.
I don't know what any of this means. Mm-hmm. And I have this 40-year-old trying to get a 16-year-old to understand his taxes. You're like, can I call my dad?
Yeah, they're like, I just need you to fill this form out so you can have your first shift.
Yeah. Like, just give me your availability, please. But what I was most known for that job is I was always the one who was willing to get off early. And that's why it's good to have a 16-year-old in the workforce, because he doesn't need the hours. He's just a little extra to waste money on to go buy CDs. I was buying a lot of CDs. It was the first time I had some CD income, and then put a little CD deck in my truck. Was a big deal. I got to try and woo this girl away from the rec center boy. See if she'd be impressed by my
CD collection.
You know, when I hit the button, the CD comes, it plops down and
did you have the 3?
No, I wish. We were putting a CD deck in an 88 truck.
No, nobody needed a 3-disc CD player.
No, I just needed to go drive my stick shift with my CD thing on my lap going through it. Yeah.
So when you moved and you just needed to spice things up a bit, you're like, I'm going to go get a rec center job.
Exactly.
You know what? Return to romance.
I know what she likes. So, but it was just a very silly, silly thing. And it's just so funny to think about. I mean, the more I think about my old jobs, I'm like, I don't want my kid to have a job because I don't want him to be around all these adults.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Because that's where we just had this conversation yesterday or 2 days ago about with our kids' first jobs. My kid is taking a class called BizTown right now.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, familiar with it? It's great.
Mm-hmm. The band?
Yeah, it's really good.
No, it's
this business program.
It's a crazy town.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. And they have a facility
song.
Too.
Yeah.
Here in the
true.
BizTown.
Yeah. That's San Diego based little rip. So he's like, he has to practice for an interview this week. And it's funny. He's like, one of my options is a radio engineer. I was like, I could tell you everything you know about
Got
this.
That.
Really funny. Aside from that, though, but I've already been telling them, I went on this rant one day. I told my son, I was like, listen, whatever you do, you have to figure out how to own something.
Yeah.
Just own, figure it out. Figure out how to own something, because that's the only way you're going to make it in this world.
I know.
And so it's like...
Yeah.
just thinking about like young entrepreneurship, and I'm trying to figure out how can I just get these kids to have their own business at 16? Because it's like, that's like, if you can get ahead on that, then you might not have to deal with all this stuff that we had to deal with. And
if
and
you
all
can,
that, right?
They might have to do both at the same time, though.
Oh, 100%. So we were talking about the certification stuff, because like that's where Mercedes has started to figure out a lot of hospitals and medical programs have certifications where you don't need medical school.
Right.
So it's like to operate an X-ray machine, to do respiratory therapy. Like there's all of these other jobs within the medical field that you just have to get a certification, a license for. And you can get it at 17, 16 and start working that way in advance, and it pays way better than working in food and retail.
You get a shift meal?
What's your 15 look like?
Exactly. That's the last few minutes here. Let's read some of the other jobs here. This is an email we got from Lindy. Lindy said, our sons who are now in their 50s, our three sons who are now in their 50s, all delivered the local newspaper as a first job. Classic. Got up at 4:30 a.m., rolled the papers with rubber bands, loaded them onto the handlebars of their bikes, and off they went. This is my favorite part, though. They had to go out in the evenings, door to door, and collect money. We were all laughing about it recently, and it all sounds so dangerous and respectable. I need your newspaper money. That's great. This one is from Scott. Scott, longtime friend of the pod.
Yep.
Sales kid at a sporting goods store in the mall back when mall life was incredible. So I wanted to read that one. And by the way, you guys can always email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. And then these comments are on our Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans Facebook group. That was how my sister got a job. And it was really how I went first, too, is you would start at the mall. And you would go to Zoomies and you would go to whatever and you would just be like, can I get an application? Are you guys hiring? And then you come back and you're like, can I speak to a manager? Okay, kid. And you're like, they look at your resume. They're like, there's nothing here.
Literally nothing on this piece of paper.
Yeah. It's very similar like when you have a wallet when you're 13 and they're like, what's in there? You're like, an ace of spades.
Piece of gum.
Got a chain wallet with a
library card.
With a car, my student ID and
nothing.
Nothing.
I just remember one of your sister's jobs was working at the
Things Remembered. Engraving.
Engraving.
Yeah, store. Where they would just be like,
oh, it was an actual store.
You need some initials on a necklace.
Actual store.
The funny thing is, like, three of them, her and all of her friends worked at Things Remembered. Micah did, and I think Adam did. It was hilarious.
It's so funny. Mall life.
Mel, you read this one from Melissa. Mel from
Melissa. My first job was in an ice cream shop, Knott County Babysitting, that I started when I was 13. I also helped my uncle with shredding papers, et cetera, in his sheet metal company. We have 7 kids and 4 old enough for first jobs. The oldest 2 began at McDonald's at 15. Then the next 2 have their first jobs at Walmart. They both started there at 15. Our 5th is currently looking for a job, but they do babysitting for a few families.
You know, it's interesting. You always were pushing grocery store to Joel, but that's because you're really close to your cashier.
I got an in with the manager.
No, it's not the manager.
Yeah, she is.
Oh,
no,
is she?
She's the cashier, but she manages the front of house.
Great.
At the grocery store.
That's what I did mostly.
Oh,
with
really?
My jobs.
Bagging?
Worked at Vons, but I was forced to quit because of basically a in-house conspiracy around some people doing some time clock fraud, and it ended up getting pinned on me.
Whoa. You were the fall guy.
I became the fall guy when
They're
knew
like,
the
we
two
fired
other people
him.
That were doing it, and they kept getting away with it for another 4 months.
They can't keep getting away
it's
with
so
us.
Sad. I was 17, and they pulled me in, and they're like, well, didn't change your code when you switched to packing when you were doing carts, and it was an accident. I got pinned as doing it intentionally.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Well,
it's crazy you say
out,
that.
Andy.
I forgot about that. When I went to, I had to get grilled a little bit because there was a girl who was stealing from our till. We were doing Outback to go, and she was stealing from the till, and we would share a till sometimes. And that was a big no-no as far as sharing tills. But back in the day, it wasn't an issue. And they got her to be she was taking $100 a night. And you're like, hey, man, you got to be a little.
This is not your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she probably made more stealing from them than, you know. Cynthia said, my first job was at Del Taco in Texas City, Texas. I still crave their steak and cheese burritos 44 years later. I think this is part of, I brought that up because that's how I feel about Outback, that I'm like, I love Outback.
The cheesy fries.
I would take it over Ruth Chris. I would take it over a five-star. Unless it's Nate taking me to that steakhouse after the Tonight Show in Manhattan, that was better than Outback. But most, that's a rare experience. But I love Outback. I think it's fantastic. All right, Mel, hit us with a couple more. Rapid fire.
I worked at an outdoor music venue when I was 16.
This is crazy.
I scanned tickets in the lower pavilions, so mostly cool. I had a lot of middle-aged drunk people dancing around me at a Kid Rock show. I also worked at Warped Tour and supported the person catching crowd surfers. Nice. I worked by the tour buses at Fish and saw bubbles floating over the wall.
This is awesome.
That's awesome.
Note, I was a sheltered Catholic school kid at this point and didn't understand the type of crowds I'd encounter at shows.
I love that.
That's a ton
kind
of show.
Karen? I don't know. It's Caron? Probably not the Quran, but it's with a C. I was a cashier for a family-owned grocery store at a tiny one-stoplight town. As a shy teen, I learned invaluable lessons by having to deal with impatient customers and make announcements over the loudspeaker.
Yes.
Clean up an aisle three. Elizabeth says, my first job was a teacher's assistant at my middle school. I was a freshman in high school. Yes, meaning I had literally been a student there the year before. Well, that's funny because my first full-time job was being a youth pastor when I was 19. Thankfully, it wasn't in the city I grew up in. And I'm like, I remember high school last month.
All right.
Sit down, kids. I got something to tell you.
Yeah. Youth pastor and lifeguard is like a first job is a full circle.
Yeah, totally. Well, speaking of full circle, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, everybody, want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thank you, patrons, for making this podcast happen and being such a vital part of our community. That is Alex Foos and Sam Graham.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Ryan and Amy Nagel.
Byron Smith.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Ibleen.
Cynthia Carpenter.
Demarius Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
David and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
I lost my spot. There we go. Juliana Smith.
Christy Harrod.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Neoma Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Restless Mosaic.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Steven Mania.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thanks, everybody.
You.